city. A moment of clarity. So tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, love, what's in your name? What's in your name?
Stuck. Newest from Kaya Cater featuring Taj Mahal. That was Fidan off of Kaya Cater's latest album, Strange Medicine. Heard that first on Robin's show, Roots and Berries, Fridays at 12 to 1. Really enjoyed what she played, and so I had to take a listen of Strange Medicine for myself, and it's fun. It's a banger of an album. Go check it out. Before that, you heard Sajal with Name. My name is Leslie. Asian Heritage Month is very interesting. I think I'm often sitting in a place where I don't know how I want to observe or celebrate Asian Heritage Month. In Canada, because it's a federally recognized month of recognition, I think I don't really trust it all the time. Like, I feel like if the federal government says, like, well, we're gonna observe this, sometimes I'm like, why are we doing it? Who are we doing it for? And I think today I want to present those questions to you. Why are we celebrating Asian Heritage Month, and who are we doing it for? If you're not Asian, you don't have to answer. This is for the other Asian people who are also listening to the program. Because I think there is a question to be asked about the motives of one thing. I'm skeptical of why we celebrate Asian Heritage Month in Canada when it's federally recognized, because part of me is like, oh, okay, so you wanna say thank you to Asian people for making Canada so diverse, right? You wanna thank Asian people for for being a part of the Canadian national myth of diversity and multiculturalism, right? Where was that when you were issuing head tax forms and barring South Asians from entering the country? Where was all that when you're making immigration and the refugee journey so hard for people who become displaced because of war and imperialism, huh? Where's all that? So there's a part of me that does genuinely feel that way. Just recognizing that this, I think one of the really big reasons why we, why these days, like, that kind of stem from civil rights recognition are observed, and they kind of become washed out, watered down into being things that are, like, more palatable for certain sectors of Canadian society. You know, that makes me feel a little bit weird. Asian identity is very complicated. It is so complicated, in fact, that, like, there are people who don't believe in, like, the validity of, like, a diasporic, of people's diasporic identities. And there is, there's also, like, a lot of tension between, certain Asian communities, partly due to socio and geopolitics. It's inevitable, it is there. And at the same time, it is also complicated, specifically with Asian Heritage Month, because there, in my understanding of this occasion, in the many years that I have seen it being observed, it has had to shift based on white people's understanding of Asian identity. It's kind of like the census, right? Because at one point on the census, there were so limited categories of racial and ethnic identity, and the concept of racialization and ethnic identity were conflated so much, you know, that some people whose ancestry come from the continent of Asia, and again, that in itself is also really complicated, like, they could not find their demographic on the census, right? I think at some point, if I understand correctly, like, you could choose, if you were an Asian person, you could choose basically only between being, like, Chinese or Japanese and Indian. But if you were, like, Central Asian or South, or from a different part of South Asia, or if you were, like, Korean or something, or if you were, you know, West Asian, and those all of those options put you under the category of other. This is an issue that continues to exist in a lot of social research as well. Oftentimes, specifically about the intersections of racialization and immigration and citizenship. I've seen this before. I will not explain further, but I have seen this before. So that's kind of complicated, right? You had to have Asian people being like, hey, hold on, that is not comprehensive, in order for the census to be like, oh yes, you're right, that is not comprehensive, excuse us. Over the course of the past, I don't know, maybe 10 years that I have been aware of what Asian Heritage Month is, that is something that I have seen happen really often. We begin with the Chinese, and then later on we expand to everyone else, including Asian people who are not from East Asia. And so that brings me to another thought, which is that if we are observing and celebrating Asian heritage, And maybe, you know, part of the reason why the definitions of Asian Heritage Month had to expand based on identities, or had to expand its identity categorizations, partly due to the history of racialization and racism in Canada. A part of me wonders, like, what does Asian heritage look like in Canada? I wonder if there is a way for us to celebrate and observe Asian Heritage Month away from the way that white people want us to do it. I often want to encourage people to, when they observe Asian Heritage Month, to consider really parallels and experiences of solidarity and community within what we experience as Asian heritage and culture in Canada. Because I think that that way, by doing things that way, we are able to expand and nuance and complicate the idea of what an Asian identity, or I guess like maybe like an Asian Canadian identity, looks like, that aligns a little bit closer with the roots of why this day exists, because of, you know, the civil rights movement. And there are a lot of examples of this, right? For example, there's like a lot of history between early Chinese settlers in British Columbia and their proximity and community relations to First Nations in BC, for example, right? And how does settler colonialism factor into that? That allows us, settler colonialism and as well, of course, white supremacy, right? White supremacy and settler colonialism impact Chinese communities and First Nations communities differently, but in a somewhat parallel way. And yet, you know, we're being asked to celebrate, for example, you know, what I'm trying to say is, and yet we're being asked to observe Asian Heritage Month in such a way that sometimes overlooks that really specific and complicated, crucial history in this country that was, you know, established via settler colonial terms with white supremacy, by displacing Indigenous communities and also exploiting Chinese migrants. That's just one example. And if we bring it back to the today, you know, how are Asian people in our histories and in our cultures, and so in our legacies, how are we trying to ensure that we are moving through our racialization, I guess, in a way that works in solidarity with other racialized groups and Indigenous communities and other oppressed groups within these borders and also beyond, right? We also want to think about imperialism. You know, there's this really good article in Reckon magazine by an Asian American scholar named Bianca Mabute Louie, and She talks about how Asian American identity factors into the Free Palestine movement, and how as Asian Americans, folks really should interrogate complicity in the way that the U.S. war machine and the U.S. imperialism is helping to devastate and destroy the lives of Palestinians. I think we can ask a somewhat similar question as Asian people living in Canada, and we can apply such similar questions to other global crises, right? When we celebrate Asian heritage in Canada, it prompts us to question, it should prompt us to question our identities as people living in Canada. And if we, you know, if we identify as Canadians as well, we should feel as though we need to take some time to complicate that question of having a Canadian identity. There's a lot more in there, I feel. And again, I think I'm just presenting like kind of like a surface discussion of Asian Heritage Month. But I think it is worth complicating what this month means, what it serves, what it's supposed to do. Today I went to a Chinatown Together event, in which I really felt like, yes, this is my Asian heritage, right? And I knew that I felt that way because the work that Chinatown Together does actively strives to build lines of solidarity within class politics, within racial politics, disability politics, etc. And I felt like, yes, there's a part of me in there that feels recognized and validated. And at the same time, to be able to push back against gentrification via cultural means was like, you know, it was actually really freaking cool. It is very, very cool, actually. And so I guess that made me feel like, it's maybe worth sharing these ideas with you today. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know everything. To be honest, Asian Heritage Month does make me kind of uncomfortable because I feel like I'm often asked to like perform like a certain thing for people who, bless their hearts, will say, wow, it's Asian Heritage Month, and then they'll look at me. That happens. And it's not always a bad thing, but it is layered. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Hey, if you're an Asian person, do not write in if you are not Asian. Let me make that very firm. But if you are an Asian person, I want to know about how you feel about Asian Heritage Month. Let me know. Write to me, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com, or send me a direct message over at typicallytuesdays on Instagram. Give me a follow over there as well. If you are not Asian, tell me about how you are uplifting Asian people during this month. Is it by tuning into multiple campus community radio programs in which there are Asian hosts and they're presenting varied ideas about the idea of being an Asian person? Wow, that sounds like, you know, sounds like you're doing part of the work, which is to listen to #diverse voices. Before I leave off the show today, two things. I mentioned Chinatown Together today. They've got great summer programming coming up. Go find out more over on their Substack, their newsletter, savechinatownyvr.substack.com. Really highly endorse their events. One final thing, it was about last week's programming on Typically Tuesdays. So on Monday, I had broadcasted a panel from Vancouver Comic Arts Fest. And then the following day for Typically Tuesday repeats, I did not broadcast that show. This is because on Monday, I found out that Vancouver Comic Arts Fest had allowed a vendor to sell their work about being an Israeli occupation forces soldier at the event. And this vendor their comic is an autobiographical comic. So they had volunteered in the Israeli occupation forces. I really could not. I was like really, really uncomfortable with that and really disturbed. And given the humanitarian crisis happening in Gaza right now, I could not continue to highlight the festival because of this association. It was really, really it was really quite shaking. So that happened. I'm not going to be highlighting Vancouver Comic Arts Fest on Typically Tuesdays again. They have released a letter of apology to the community about this whole thing. But until I really see accountability being taken by the organizers, and I see involvement from the community to help address this issue, VanCaf is not going to be discussed again on Typically Tuesdays. And so that's that. I just wanted to quickly address this programming thing. We are hitting the top of the hour now, and so I'm going to close off the show with one final song. Thank you for tuning in to TT, and thank you for your constant support. Here is one final song, Vancouver Icons, Dasi. I don't know too much about this man, but Dasi seems to be very affectionate towards him. This is a track called Harry Styles. I hope you enjoy, and I will talk to you very soon. Thanks for tuning in. You're